This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
It's all about Jesus, isn't it? The one thing that stands out to me so far this morning is that it's all about Jesus. We're here because of him. Let me just pray. Father God, we thank you. Lord, we are so grateful. So grateful, God, that you've brought us into relationship with you. That you brought us out of darkness, Lord. That you paid such a price that we could know you. So in this season, Lord, where the world is seemingly just so, has no idea, Lord, and yet there's this frantic celebration going on. But God, we celebrate you. We celebrate you. We celebrate you, Lord, and we thank you that as we gather together, we can draw near to you, Lord, that we do draw near to you, that we learn and grow and feed on all that you have for us, that you do in us, Lord, that you're working through us. So, Lord, I pray as I speak this morning, God, that you would speak to us. God, that you would be exalted, that you would be glorified, that you would have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I found a quote by William Booth. He lived from 1829 to 1912. He was the founder of the Salvation Army, for those of you that may not know that. This is what he said. He said, "The chief danger that confronts the coming 20th century, long time ago, will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell." And we could add, among many other things, Christmas without Christ. Our theme, our thought for the month has been, is keeping Christ in Christmas. And one of the ways that we can see that happen is for our lives to reveal Christ. Let me read to you from Colossians 1, starting from verse 6. Says, "This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he's helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. So we've not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honour and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better." So how can we keep Christ in Christmas? I want to look today at the fruit of the Spirit. Paul talks to the Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit, talking about a Spirit-led life versus works of the flesh. I want to read from Galatians 5 and starting from verse 13. "For you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in one command: love your neighbour as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another." Verse 16, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." Or the New King James says, "Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfil the lusts of the flesh." The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite to what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. Verse 19, "When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarrelling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, pride. Oh, pride's not there. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy. I haven't got the clicker. Can we put that up? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So those who belong to Christ, those who have relationship with Jesus, will display the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is how people will see Jesus. This is how we can keep Christ in Christmas. I found a post on Facebook, and some of you might have seen it. Let me read it out to you. It said, you're holding a cup of coffee when someone comes along and bumps into you or shakes your arm, making you spill your coffee everywhere. Why did you spill the coffee? Well, because someone bumped into me. Well, no, that's the wrong answer. You spilled the coffee because there was coffee in your cup. Had there been tea in the cup, you would have spilled tea. So whatever is inside the cup is what will spill out. Therefore, when life comes along and shakes you, which will happen, whatever is inside of you is what will come out. It's easy to fake it until you get rattled. So we have to ask ourselves, what's in my cup? When life gets tough, what spills over? Is it joy and gratefulness and peace and humility? Or is it anger and bitterness and harsh words and reactions? Life provides the cup. You choose how to fill it. So let's look today at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because whatever spills out of us is what the world sees and tastes. We want them to see Christ this Christmas. And because he lives in us, because we have relationship with Jesus, we're the ones who will reveal Christ to the world by our words, by our actions, by the way we live our lives in the good times and in the bad, as we allow the Holy Spirit to produce his fruit in us. Matthew 7 talks about the tree and its fruit. A good tree produces good fruit, a bad tree produces bad fruit. So I'll read to you from verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, verse 20, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. It's true. Luke 6:45 says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in here is what's going to come out. Remember Galatians 5:22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. This is the fruit that is produced in our lives. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit. Remember that. And Galatians 4:19 says, my children, my little children, for whom I labour in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Christ is being formed in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are being transformed from glory to glory so that he produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit as we cooperate with him working in us. We are children of God. We have relationship with Jesus, and the people around us will be able to identify whose we are by the type of fruit that we bear. I've got a few quotes from Bill Scheidler, he's done many Bible studies, but one on the Holy Spirit. So the ladies from the Karen's Bible study will hear some of this down the track. But he says, the Holy Spirit would like to produce his fruit in us. As we yield to the power of the Holy Spirit within, we are transformed from glory to glory and we begin to take on the divine attributes of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one who is causing Christ to be formed in us. So it's a work of the Holy Spirit. Before we go any further, though, I just want to clarify that I'm talking about the fruit, which are for every single one of us, every single child of the living God, all the time. The fruit of the Spirit is available to us. Whereas the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are given to us by the Holy Spirit, they're given as and when he chooses, for whatever he wills. Bill Scheidler again says, the gifts of the Spirit are supernatural endowments. The gifts of the Spirit are supernatural endowments given to the believer at the direction of the Holy Spirit to meet particular needs at particular times. He says, the nine gifts of the Spirit are the ways in which the indwelling Spirit shines forth or reveals or manifests himself through believers. So the gifts are not the fruit. But as we cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the fruit, or the character of God, is formed in us so that the gifts, the ability of God, is revealed through our lives in a way that benefits people around us and directs them to God and not us. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the gifts of the Spirit. So let me read a few verses from there. Verse 1, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the gifts the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. Verse 3, so I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. Verse 6, God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. And verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Or the New King James says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Let me read to you what the gifts are. So there's the word of wisdom given to one, to another the word of knowledge, to another through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. It is the one and only Spirit, the one and same Spirit who works all these things, who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So the gifts of the Spirit are given as the Holy Spirit wills, as he chooses. They're given by God, but they have to operate in tandem with the fruit of the Spirit, don't they? Because then we come to the next chapter, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And we all know these verses because they're read out so often. If I could speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, if I had faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. What do we want the world to see? What is spilling out of us? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful or proud or jealous or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. It never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Verse 8, prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and will become useless, but love will last forever. Our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only the part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, when Jesus returns, these partial things will become useless. Verse 13, three things will last forever. Forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And chapter 14, verse 26 says, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. So the gifts of the Spirit are given as the Holy Spirit chooses. So they vary from person to person and also according to the circumstance, but they're given for the building up and edification of the body. And without love, we're only making noise. That's the gifts. The gifts have to be balanced with the fruit. Again, this is Bill Scheidler's quote. He says, we want to see the fruit of the Spirit working in perfect harmony with the gifts of the Spirit. Both the gifts and the fruit are necessary. The fruit of the Spirit represents the character of God. Love, joy, peace, patience, all of those. The gifts of the Spirit represent the ability of God. Divine ability without divine character is dangerous. Divine character without divine ability leaves one powerless to be effective in what God has called us unto. So they're both necessary. The gifts of the Spirit are given for the profit of all, but they will become useless or unnecessary when perfection comes, when Jesus returns. But love, the fruit of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, will last forever because love is a divine attribute of God. This is the character of God being produced in us. So Galatians 5:16 again says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves, or walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We can ask God for the gifts of the Spirit and benefit others in the use of them, but which ones we have is for the Holy Spirit to decide. The fruit of the Spirit, however, every one of the fruit of the Spirit is for all of us all the time as we allow him to do his work in us. So, Galatians 5:22, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. These nine qualities describe the character of a fruitful, productive Christian. And as we continue to walk with the Lord, they will become more and more evident if we abide in him. So let's think about the fruit for a bit. I've always pictured the fruit, next one, of the Spirit as a bowl of individual fruits. But Bill Scheidler points out, and it's true. The next one, Karen, thanks. The fruit of the Spirit is singular in number. The Bible doesn't speak about the fruits of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. Although these qualities can be studied separately, they are inseparable in the life of a believer. So they're all for all of us. There's a unity among them. They represent one harmonious whole. So they could be pictured like an orange rather than a bowl of different kinds of fruit. One fruit with many segments. Good picture, isn't it? So the fruit of the Spirit is a complete package available in total to all of us, to every believer. Whereas the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts as he wills, he wants to produce every one of these fruit, these godly characteristics in every one of us who believe and have relationship with Jesus. Go to the next one. Thanks, Karen. So what can we do to make sure this Holy Spirit fruit is produced in our lives? So this is, you know, this is what we're looking for, but how do we make it happen? Is it by being more good? If I just try harder to be more like Jesus, you know, what would Jesus do in this situation? What would Jesus do in that? Perhaps then I'll have more love and or more gentleness or more patience. We can get caught in that self-effort or even self-righteousness. We can get caught up in works, as Paul talked about to the Galatians. And what does that produce? That can produce condemnation. We can end up beating ourselves up when we fail, because we will fail. We do fail. So what can we do so that the Holy Spirit will produce his fruit in us? Remember, he's the one doing the work in us. We don't produce the fruit. It's the Holy Spirit that produces the fruit in us. So there is a lot that could be said on this, but I just want to make 2 points today. First of all, we've got to stay connected. Stay connected. Let's think about where the fruit comes from. The fruit of the Spirit come from God. The Holy Spirit is the one who produces this fruit in us. Hosea 14:8 says, O Israel, stay away from idols. I am the one who answers your prayers and cares for you. I am like a tree that is always green. All your fruit comes from me. Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. And John 15, again, a well-known portion of Scripture. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Unless we remain connected to the vine, this is relationship with Jesus. Unless we remain connected, we cannot bear fruit because fruit comes from God. It would be like me going down the back of my place and grabbing a branch off my orange tree and bringing it up to the house and expecting it still to produce oranges. There's no sap, there's no roots, there's no nutrients. There's nothing of what's necessary to produce oranges in that branch anymore. It's just not there. No matter that it looks like a branch of an orange tree, it's not going to produce oranges, and eventually it will wither and die completely. There's no source of life, so how could I expect to see fruit? So all my efforts, all my good works, all my trying hard won't produce fruit if I'm not connected, if I'm disconnected from the source of life. God alone can produce the fruit in my life by the power of the Holy Spirit as I remain in him. So we've got to stay connected. Secondly, we've got to get rid of the weeds and the rocks. We've got to keep the ground of our hearts soft. Hosea 10 verse 12 says, plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. Plough up the hard ground of your hearts break up the fallow ground, as it said in another verse, a translation. For now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. Plough up the hard ground of your hearts. Verse 13 is a warning. It says, but you've cultivated wickedness and harvested a thriving crop of sins. You've eaten the fruit of lies. There's a choice there. Isaiah 61 in the second part of verse 3 says that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. We are the planting of the Lord. We're saved because he called us, because he brought us to repentance, because he's poured out his Holy Spirit in our lives. But we do still have a part to play in ensuring that his fruit can be produced in us so that the world can see Jesus. Not only do we need to stay connected to the vine, but we also need to ensure that the ground of our heart is not hard. It's not full of rocks and weeds and other junk that can choke out and distract and tear us away from what the Word of God, from what the Holy Spirit of God is speaking into our lives and trying to do and reveal through us. We've got to make sure that we make room for God in our lives, that he is number one. Our heart needs to always be soft and receptive to the word of God planted in us so that the Holy Spirit, when he speaks, will hear him. Matthew 13 talks about the seed planted in different kinds of ground. And in three of those instances, the seed either didn't produce a crop or it was choked out. So let me read to you Jesus' explanation of that parable, starting from verse 18 of Matthew 13. He said, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of God, hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root within himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And we've heard this teaching again many times, so we might say, I know this, I know it. But we need to always be watchful. We might know it, but are we living it? For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, that's the lust of the flesh, you will live. That's Romans 8:13. We have a choice. Bill Scheidler again says, there must be a removal of all hindrances to growth and fruitfulness. This means that we have to continually dig up those spiritual weeds that want to contest what the Spirit is doing in our lives. One thing, he says, about the works of the flesh is that they don't have to be planted, they don't have to be desired. They just spring up when we let our guard down. So don't let your guard down. Keep your heart soft. Plough up the hard ground of your heart. Get rid of the weeds and the rocky places. Stay connected. Keep our hearts soft, and we will see the fruit of the Spirit begin to form and flourish in our lives. But it is a daily, ongoing work. Remember, only the Holy Spirit can produce the fruit of the Spirit in us. And I find that liberating. I find that encouraging because God is doing the work in me. I don't have to try extra hard to be good by trying to add love or trying to be joyful or trying to have peace and everything else in our lives that the fruit of the Spirit are. We need instead to focus on our relationship with Jesus. This is the answer. This is how we will see the fruit of the Spirit produced in our lives. It's by focusing on our relationship with Jesus. We need to drive our roots deep into Christ. We need to be connected to the source of life. We've got to spend time with God. We've got to spend time with Him and develop our relationship with Him. And we do it in prayer. We can talk to God anytime. Anytime. It's not just when we come on a Sunday. It's not just when you wake up in the morning. It's not just when you come to a prayer meeting. We can pray and talk to God at any time. We do it as we gather together to worship. I would be lost if I didn't have a place to come and gather together and be encouraged by my brothers and sisters. It's really a big part of who we are as the body of Christ. We're a body. We're not a whole bunch of individuals. We are a body. We develop our relationship with Him as we seek Him in the Word. This Word of God is a treasure. Let me encourage you to read Psalm 119. There is such richness in the Word of God. But Psalm 119, it's big. It's a long chapter, 160-odd verses. But it's a declaration of love for the Lord and His laws, His ways. It's a plea for help to live in the truth, in obedience to God's Word. It's a declaration of determination and a prayer for help to not be swayed by feelings and emotions, because our feelings and emotions are a trap. But it's also a plea, God, help me to live to please You. It's about staying connected and it's about keeping a soft heart. The Word is rich, as I said. It's powerful and it's a source of life for us. As we spend time reading the Word, we learn more about who Jesus is and how great He is, and we develop our relationship with Him. Listen to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. That's another thing. Have an ear to hear what God is saying to you. As we remain close to Jesus each and every day, as we stay connected and in relationship with Jesus, our Saviour, as we allow Him to influence and change us, the hardness of heart, the rocks, the weeds, the distractions of this world will be broken up and be removed, and the fruit of the Spirit will appear naturally in our lives. He does work in us and develop in us love, joy, and peace. He will make us to be more patient and kind and good. And He will produce in us more faithfulness, more gentleness, and more self-control. There's so much more that could be said about this, but I want to keep it simple today. The key to cultivating the fruit of the Spirit isn't really much of a secret, but we can so easily overlook it. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, His Spirit, His fruit, will be produced in us. As the fruit of the Spirit develop in us, the gifts of the Spirit that God gives will function effectively and Christ will be revealed. Let them both be there. Our treasure, our hope, is in Christ alone, and the world needs to see Him. The world needs to see Him in us. They need to know Him for themselves, but how will they know Him unless they are told about Him? And it's as we tell them by the way that we live, and words if necessary, words whenever opportunity, but let the fruit of the Spirit produce the fruit that people will want to see and taste and have for themselves. Let's make sure that we do all that we can to keep Christ in our lives this Christmas, that God would be glorified. Let me pray. Father God, we are so grateful. So grateful, Lord, first of all, that You called us, that You gave us ears to hear. Lord, that You gave us a heart to know You. Lord, and that you called us and brought us to that place of repentance, Lord, that we would say yes to you. You are our God. Thank you, God, that you did that for us. And Lord, that you filled us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us each and every day. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid that price and that you sent your Holy Spirit to be with us, to teach us, to lead us, to grow us, to be more like you. Thank you, Lord, that you've saved us, that you've called us, and that you've given us a reason for being here. Lord, that we can reveal you to those around about us that haven't yet heard your voice, that haven't yet bowed the knee, Lord. Lord, I pray, help each one of us as we serve you, Lord, as we live for you, God. Help each one of us to reveal you. Lord, have your way, God. Produce that fruit, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Produce love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Produce those qualities in us, Lord, that we would be like you. And, Lord, that people would see you, Lord, and that they would hunger for you and be changed, Lord. Have your way, I pray, in each and every one of us here today. And as we go from here, Lord, be with us and be glorified, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.com.